Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage, where I use words like fingers to massage the brain, working out the knots liberals have managed to tie into the minds of otherwise reasonable people in order to set them free to think clearly. Where I take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and swing it skillfully, hacking through the hedge of deceit Satan has built up around this country, barring truth from his way while he drags this nation into hell. Entering into his lair, where I plunge it deeply into the heart of the dragon, the father of lies, and declare, "You cannot pass!" Where I speak truth to power and the power of God, declaring boldly that the emperor has no clothes, that his fig leaf does not cover his shame, seeing to it that his crimes under the color of skin are exposed, shining the light of truth on his hatred for Christian America and love for everything Muslim, until the unstoppable force of his agenda to transform America meets the immovable object of faith in God and faithfulness to our founding, so that his agenda will disintegrate into fragments of flame with the fires of hell as the church marches on. So long as we are here, your Antichrist one world ruler cannot rise from the bottomless pit. A little prophecy there. And I'm here to tell you, we are here. It is time for Christians to stand up, to speak up. We need to swarm the political institutions in this country, taking this one nation under God back under God. We need to get on our face before God and beg his forgiveness and securing his favor for our just cause. Get into the faces of these godless politicians and demand their fidelity to the Constitution. Oh yeah. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, folks, I understand Alaska has given the GOP another vote in the Senate. Now all attention is focused on what's going down in Louisiana. Pray for Cassidy. His opposition seems to be focusing almost exclusively on his Tea Party endorsement. So anyway, don't pull out the first string yet. While conservatives have made significant advances in this election, there continue to be enough rhinos, or rhino-inclined gopers, GOPers. By the way, that's something I should explain. It's a political creature that crawls beneath the ground, feeding on the grassroots to stay alive. Think about it. Kind of like a gopher, you know? Our need for as many conservatives as possible in both houses has never been greater. The next two big battles are Obamacare and immigration. We don't need more gopers. We need enough genuine conservatives there to fend off the gopers. In the last show, I explored the meaning of the 2014 elections. I expressed my satisfaction that the GOP aristos did not come out so overbearingly at anti-Tea Party as I expected they would. I pointed out the encouraging evidence that the conservatives in the GOP are beginning to assert themselves effectively. And we talked about having the courage of our convictions, and I preached a message under that title Sunday night. But already we're getting signals from the GOP Senate leadership that they've interpreted the election as a call from the American people to work with Obama. My friend, 2014 elections was not a call to work with Obama. The 2014 elections was a call to oppose Obama. Anyway, since then, I've been in Canada and I've been out of the loop, so to speak, as virtually everyone expected. However, the two big battles ahead of us in this war against the agenda of Obama are the full and complete repeal of Obamacare and the issue of amnesty. It looks like the war clouds are gathering specifically over the issue of amnesty at present, so let's talk about immigration reform. But watch out, folks. There are a lot of gopers in the mix who want some kind of compromise that allows the illegals to stay, to find some way to make them legal without granting blanket amnesty. Not sure how you're going to do that. They want to penalize them with a fine and then encourage them to come out of hiding by offering them a path to citizenship. Well, surprise, surprise, I agree. By all means, let's fine them in an amount at least covering the cost of shipping them back to their country, and then let's help them find the path to citizenship. You know, the one that's been used by thousands of legal immigrants over the years, perhaps millions. It's called legal immigration. There is already a path to citizenship. tell them to get in line with everyone else. And I've already addressed my concern that some things need to be done about the path to citizenship, but that's beside the point right now. Why these people who have come here illegally should be given special treatment, special favors, preferred access to citizenship over those who are already in line trying to get here legally is wrong. And it's wrong-headed. What kind of citizen do you get? Well, you get a law-breaking bunch that thinks they have a right to break our laws. If they come legally, what do you get? They get law-abiding citizens who are coming here to participate in this great experiment in liberty. And that begins moving us toward the real point of all this and all that you see going on among the progs and the gopers in this immigration debate. You see, we already know that the progressives want to reward illegal immigration because the profile of the typical illegal immigrant fits their agenda to build a base of ignorant, needy voters who will keep them in power. And we know that the gopers want to get in on the action in hopes they will win those voters to their side. It's all about using these people to get and hold political power, and that's disgusting. In order to maintain a voter base that keeps progressives in power, it is necessary to keep that voter base ignorant and poor. That way, these voters are in perpetual need of the politicians with power over them to protect their interests and provide for them. Such politicians are tyrants, oppressors. They don't want to elevate people to be empowered to act independently in pursuit of their own happiness. The progressives need an ignorant but thoroughly indoctrinated mob that needs them. Conservatives, on the other hand, you know what they want? They want American citizens who do not need them, who can stand on their own, who can think for themselves, who can see through Lois lies. Oh, yeah. Now, first, I'm sure that some in my august audience are saying, that's not fair. You are painting all illegal immigrants with too broad a brush. I know a lot of these families who are salt of the earth, yada, yada, yada. Which, by the way, yada, yada, yada is a gentler, friendly form of blah, blah, blah. You see, yada, yada, yada is blah, blah, blah without the negative connotation of scorn. But you know what? One of the problems of liberal think is that you can't even have a conversation with them because they are so narrowly focused that they cannot see what is in front of them. They cannot see the big picture. It's a problem our parents used to describe as being unable to see the forest for the trees. Now, really, does anyone listening to me actually think I don't know that some who are here illegally are friendly, likable, decent, hardworking, and so on? Yada, yada, yada. But what exactly does that have to do with the fact that they violated the law? Does being likable and hardworking make you above the law? So what? The law does not apply to nice guys with sweet kids who work hard. What? Wake up! Don't let these lowest liberals, and that's a liberal who will purposely lie to advance their agenda, put these kids in front of you, these mothers and these fathers working hard in front of you, and get you to accept the premise that if someone is kind, hardworking, and so on, then they get a pass on breaking the law. So, you know, here's a guy in front of the judge for breaking, let's see, I know, how about a gun law? Yeah? How about that? And his argument is that he's a nice guy who works hard and loves his family. Is there any gun-hating liberal out there who will say that in that case, the law he violated doesn't apply to him? The judge says, oh, well, the law does not apply to you because you are a nice guy who loves his family and works hard. Okay, here's another one. Let's suppose someone decides to break the law and not to pay his or her taxes. So there they stand before the judge, and the judge says, well, you broke the law, but tell me, are you a nice guy who loves his family and works hard? You are. Oh, well, in that case, the law to pay your taxes does not apply to you. Do you see the insanity of this? You know, this staring at the trees so closely, you cannot see the forest. You are staring at an individual case so closely that you don't notice that the devil, meanwhile, is sneaking in a huge law and order degrading lie into your silly head. And now, in the interest of the truth, that the first work of communication is to be understood. Consider, something was brought to my attention a while back by a dear friend that caused me to do some thinking about how the brain masseur goes about his work of massaging truth into the mind. And that is that sometimes people hear me say you and think I mean you. So allow me to clarify. If you are a clear-headed conservative, then I don't think you are a silly head. But you are a silly head if you're so superficial in your understanding as to suppose that when I use the pronoun you, I necessarily mean to include everyone listening to me. Obviously, I mean those in my audience who fit the qualifying criteria made clear in the context of my comments. All right, you understand? In other words, the word you in this case refers to anyone who is inclined to stare at trees so closely they fail to see the forest. Then, in that case, you are simple-minded, which is a biblical term for silly head. Now, look, there's no question I'm having some fun with this, you know, but don't make the mistake of thinking I'm not making a serious point. You see, silly-headed is a technical term. The word headed is clear enough. In this use, it refers to the way one thinks. The dictionary meaning of the word silly specifically indicates that it refers to one who lacks common sense, one who is absurd in their thinking. You know, like those people who think if you pass a law against owning a gun, then law-breaking criminals, of course, will not use guns in their crimes, right? You know, silly nonsense like that. But did you know that the archaic use of the term silly included the idea that someone is defenseless or helpless? And believe it or not, when I speak of silly-headed people, I'm speaking as much with compassion as I am with clarity. I am talking about people whose thinking is absurd, making them vulnerable to be preyed upon by unscrupulous deceivers, you know, like Lois Capps, thereby incapacitating them and making them helpless against the abuse of tyrants who will use them to gain the power they wield against our liberty. It makes them prey to the dangerous ideas Satan intends to use to destroy liberty in this land. In other words, the brain masseur never uses words in a frivolous or casual way. Or if he does, he's ashamed of it. He chooses his words carefully. You think I'm just calling somebody a name? For heaven's sake, man, how long have you been listening to this show? If it's more than 6 months, I just don't know what to say to you. There we go again. Does you mean you? Well, only if you fit the qualifying criteria indicated in the context of the statement. Being a nice guy who works hard does not mean the law does not apply to you. Good night. I dare say some knot-headed liberal, which is another technical term, by the way, not mean-spirited, not merely to be derogatory, but carefully chosen expression with very specific meaning and meaning that includes compassion for those afflicted with either severely hardened wrong opinions that will not yield to truth or thinking so tangled up with various deceits the person cannot hope to hear truth until these knots are untied. Good night. Some who knew him would no doubt say Hitler was a nice guy who worked hard. Huh? Or A? But does that mean the laws of God expressed in the Declaration that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights does not apply to Hitler or to the other monsters who were tried for crimes against humanity at Nuremberg? Oh, don't insult my intelligence by coming back with some silly-headed retort like,
"You're comparing people who come here illegally with Hitler."
Think! That is not only silly-headed, it's downright disingenuous. My comparison is a way of thinking that suggests if people who commit crimes are hardworking and love their family, then in that case, laws don't apply to them. That's the point of comparison. I'm for immigration. I believe in it. In fact, I am a product of it. That's right. I'm told, and the reasons that my history is somewhat obscured, I don't have time to explain, but I'm told that my grandfather immigrated here from Austria. The story goes that he came here illegally. He married, and I think it was while his wife was with child with my dad that my grandpa was deported. And then he got in line and returned here legally. Now, my dad was born in Texas and my mom in Alabama and I was born in California. So I'm only a second generation American. I'm glad for immigration, but nothing about the fact that my grandfather, a jeweler and a machinist, was a hardworking man meant the laws governing immigration did not apply to him. Well, we'll see what the GOP does with the immigration issue, but what I'm hearing right now is not comforting. Nevertheless, when we get back for the break, I want to point out something else about this immigration issue that's being overlooked by those who cannot see the forest for the trees. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. What will Obama do now that he has nothing to restrain him? We've already seen his willingness to act as dictator-in-chief and force his agenda into law, circumventing the legislature. Will he sign an executive order making his gun restrictions the de facto law of the land? He has already usurped the legislature by using the executive pen to virtually amend the Affordable Health Care Act by unilaterally changing the law as it was enacted. When this behavior is allowed to go unchecked, de facto law supersedes legislated law. Now let me explain this business about de facto laws. It refers to something that is in effect whether right or not, whether legally or not. In other words, there is one law of immigration actually that is on the books, so to speak, right? But then there is the law that is actually effective. There is Obama's de facto law on immigration. And these are very different, in fact, at odds with one another. He establishes his de facto law in contradiction to the legal law by signing executive orders that forbid the implementation or enforcement of the legislated laws. He has twisted the law so that as the executive responsible to enforce the law, he therefore presumes to usurp the right to select which laws he'll enforce and what parts of what laws he'll enforce. And in this way, he claims he is not making law, but he's a liar. His job is to enforce the laws legislated by our Congress. If he uses his power of the executive to circumvent those laws, he is lawless and is guilty of contempt of Congress and in contempt of the Constitution and in contempt of the people and deserves the contempt of the people. He has become a law unto himself. If all under him follow him, then what gets established is de facto law that is contrary to legislated law. And because whatever Obama says becomes the effective law of the land, ergo de facto law. When those under him cooperate with this egregious violation of his office, they are accessories after the fact in this treasonous behavior. For they have sworn an oath, not to Obama, but to the Constitution. So these people are working together to create effectively a law that contradicts the legislated law. And that is what de facto law does. It usurps legislated law. One wonders what sorts of gun laws can Obama legislate with his executive pen? Just how much of our Second Amendment can Obama take away with the help of the Obama bots in Congress, the progs and the gopers, who refuse to impeach and to dismiss this man from office for the high crime of violating the Constitution, usurping executive power to effectively change laws, creating de facto law outside of legislated law through selective enforcement. Follow me? At home, if you say lights out at 10 p.m., but in practice bedtime is never before 11, while the stipulated House rule is lights out at 10, what is the effective or de facto rule of the House? You are right. The effective rule, the de facto rule, is sometime after 11 p.m. Our immigration laws are essentially de facto. Y'all come, especially if you're inclined to vote illegally. I mean, you come here illegally, right? So why not vote illegally too? I mean, after all. And that's what the resistance against voter identification laws is all about, my friend. It will reveal the number of people who have rationalized justification for coming here illegally. And then it's a very easy next step to rationalize justification for voting illegally. After all, I mean, they live here under sanction of Obama's de facto law. Right? And they are affected by the politics that go on in this country. So indeed, they have a very keen interest in keeping someone like Obama in office. So shouldn't they get to vote? What sorts of immigration laws can Obama legislate into de facto law with his executive pen? What sorts of Obamacare laws can he legislate with his executive pen imposing the support of abortion on persons of conscience, for example? What sorts of de facto law can he put in place to effectively make gay marriage the law of the land? This business of allowing Obama to circumvent the Congress by use of executive privilege or order has got to stop. Have you noticed that the greatest problems we have in this country today are the direct result of a corrupt and or a cowardly Congress? A Congress that, in part, are accomplices with Obama in this business of circumventing the People's House, where laws are supposed to be made with the full participation of all representatives of the people. Do you understand that when the Democrats played their wicked political tricks to keep conservatives from having a voice in shaping and passing the Obamacare legislation, illegal, dirty tricks, by the way, with people like Pelosi saying, you know, we have to pass the legislation in order for people to find out what is in it. Without question, the stupidest statement ever made by a human being, the trick of plopping a 10,000-worded document, a law, on the desks of conservative lawmakers the morning it's supposed to be voted on, and then another time they did it 3 days before it was to be voted on. These are just deceitful tactics. And they all have one thing in mind: eliminate the influence of those Americans who opposed Obama's agenda. This is treason. Americans voted for those representatives. And so all the Americans who voted for those representatives had their voice cut out of the legislative process. And those congresspersons who did dally about whether to impeach are cowards. Those who say, well, he only has 2 more years, so, well, okay, hey, the illegals are here already, right? So, you know, they already cut in line. They already violated the law. So might as well let him stay. It's the same kind of thinking. How long is this going to go on before we have no integrity left in the legislative branch of our government? How long will this go on before the Congress passes a law and the American people just roll their eyes and openly scoff at you and scorn your laws? How long will this continue before you make the entire nation a nation of lawbreakers who have no regard for law and order because those of you charged with the duty to make laws, you have no regard for the laws you make? Our Congress has sat back and allowed the courts to legislate from their benches. And now our Congress sits back and allows the president alleged to legislate with his executive pen. This immigration debate needs to be narrowed down to a simple truth. The law must be enforced. And if our executive refuses to enforce it, he must be impeached. Whatever the rationalizations that are used to justify refusing to enforce the law, the first rule is that the law must be enforced. You say, wait a minute here. Hitler's minions could argue that they were merely obeying the law. Well, the argument is that Hitler's purge of the Jews is, without any question, a violation of a higher law, the law of God, the inalienable rights of man, and so the law was itself unlawful. And I've done a show or two on unlawful laws. Many have contrived an argument that the immigration laws of our country are themselves unlawful, and they are violations of human rights and so shouldn't be enforced. Clever people contrive these arguments, and simple-minded, silly-headed people fall prey to the sleight-of-mind tricks played on them. Let's consider a few of the more common arguments. First, deporting illegal immigrants is a violation of their human right to dignity. And you know, the Catholics make a lot of noise about this, saying we must respect the dignity of the illegal immigrant who came here illegally, but for noble reasons, such as to provide for their family and so forth. My friend, not all illegal immigrants are here for anything like a noble reason. Many come to trade in drugs, to take advantage of our welfare system, and to live like parasites in the American economy. They don't come to give anything back. They send it all back to Mexico. Like, you know, they bleed us. And that's what the legal path to immigration sorts out. It offers us the opportunity to weed out those who desire to come here for all of the noble reasons we certainly do respect from those who are attempting to come here for nefarious reasons. Besides, there's nothing noble about taking cuts in the breadline. I remember the early days after the Iron Curtain came down, visiting Russia and seeing the line of people stretch for every bit of a mile, while people waiting for a bread delivery to come in hopes that some bread would be left when they finally got to the front of the line. And anyone attempting to cut into that line was, my friend, taking their lives in their own hands. You say, well, a mother wants bread for her baby, so she cuts in line. Okay, well, she will have to answer then to the hundreds of other mothers who want bread for their babies too. The noble mother got up long before day, trudged through a foot of snow, and went early to the line to stand shivering in that rush of cold, waiting for the bread delivery to come. That's the noble mother, not the one who's trying to cheat the system and take cuts. Second, America is evil and stole the land from the Mexicans. Now, I've done extensive research on this and commented on it fully in past shows. We've examined all the arguments claiming that California belongs to Mexico and all that business about Texas. And we've examined the arguments regarding Arizona, New Mexico, and so on. And we've related it to the whole issue of, you know, Columbus and the early settlements on the East Coast and this business about the Indians, you know, themselves, driving out tribes before them and taking the land by conquest, all this kind of stuff. And when the facts are given honest attention, you begin to see the forest and the trees. If you look at this tree or that tree, that is this abuse or that abuse, and you select only those out as your sample, and you draw your conclusions, extrapolate from that your conclusions about the whole country from a convenient examination of individually selected trees, well, you can make any case you want. But if you take into consideration all the trees, if you step back and get the bigger picture, it becomes obvious that America has been a champion for righteous causes, a defender of the downtrodden, a beacon of hope for the oppressed, and a light illuminating the path to liberty for any people with the courage to step up to the call to truth, justice, and the American way. You see, many who decry me for making such so-called glittering generalities about my beloved country themselves make a degenerate generalizations about America premised upon an examination of individual conveniently selected trees by their fruit, right? Who in their right mind would disagree that were it not for America, we would all be speaking German and goose-stepping to some Der Führer? And if it were not for America, there would have been no purple fingers in Iraq. And if America is so bad, why do so many who claim to hate her want to live here? Get Dinesh's documentary, America, Imagine the World Without Her. It's a very well-done study offering the truth about this country. It's a look at the whole forest and not a generalization of America based on a selection of diseased trees. For example, he brings out what I go into great detail about in a past show regarding how California came to be part of the United States. Well, you know, as you know, Texians, a population comprised of Mexicans and Europeans, by the way, some from America, some from elsewhere, living together in what we call, or what was then called Texas, and when it was part of the Mexican government. Well, General Santa Anna usurped dictatorial control of the government and began violating the rights of Texians, both Mexicans and Europeans who lived together in Texas. And the Texians, including the Mexicans, resented these abuses, and it finally broke out into a war for independence. Texas won the war for independence from Mexico. Over time, Texas decided to join with the United States. And then Mexico, under Santa Anna, disputed the borders that were drawn up there and raised an army threatening to attack Texas. Well, this led to the Mexican-American War. Well, as you know, America won that war, occupying all of Mexico, my friends. When the war was won, America did not annex all of Mexico to America. Probably would have been good for them if we had. But instead, they worked out a deal whereby America purchased, by the way, California and New Mexico for, I think it was something like $15 million. And in 1800s currency, that was a hunk of bucks. Also, America assumed Mexico's indebtedness of an additional $3.5 million, I believe, and then ceded back to Mexico the rest, which is what we call Mexico today. Maybe you think what America should have done is give all of it back to Mexico, and that's just the difference between silly-headed people and you who are reasonable. There is a price to pay if you decide to attack people who are at rest in peace with you. And the point is that wicked, lying people who are malicious and desire to bring America down, to make it no longer a Christian nation, who hate God and the Bible, they know, either consciously or perhaps intuitively, that America as founded is in the way of their globalist agenda of Satan's design to enslave the human race. You know, as Alinsky made clear, that's who he served, Lucifer. And the other children of disobedience unwittingly serve the same rebel, who is the father of lies. And so they use lies to advance their cause. They manipulate facts like Lois Capps, truncate the truth, and set before the mind of our impressionable young people a selection of diseased trees and inspire them to base their conclusions about the entire forest, America, on the sample of diseased trees they set before them. But when you look at the whole forest, you realize that it's a very good forest despite the fact that there are some seriously diseased trees in it. Let's treat the diseased trees without destroying the forest, eh? Don't lose sight of the forest in your focus on a select group of trees. See the forest! And also understand that we are at war with an enemy whose primary weapon is the lie. And when you attempt to use lies to fight them, you become part of them. The only weapon effective against the lie is the truth. It's like Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." Oops. You okay? Getting heart palpitations, heavy breathing, heartbeat racing? Good night, I landed you with both a Jesus and a Bible quotation without even calling a Bible thump alert. If you need to let off some steam, though, you can call 1-888-770-8000 and scream, "Lights off!" or whatever. Or threaten me and stuff like that, as some of you do from time to time. But when you hang up, please don't press the off button on your phone so hard you break it. You break the screen or the button. Or slam the receiver down so hard you shatter. We can take no responsibility for any broken equipment because of your inability to control your temper. So let's wrap it up. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Jesus, the Son of God, said, quote, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. You know, the reason our kids are so easily deceived by these liars is that they are not disciples of Jesus. They are disciples of Alinsky, or Marx, or Freud, or any number of other God-hating, Jesus-despising progs or gopers that keep them in darkness with lies. It's our responsibility to speak truth to the lie. And that's what the Brain Massage Show is all about. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say "lights on" if you agree with what I'm saying, or "lights off" if you disagree. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can reach me by email. Go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll see a place there so you can write me as long a message as you like. Please call or write me an email right away. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. In any event, I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from the founders of our freedom and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.